So the next thing that I get to do that's an honor, I get to introduce this week's speaker. This week we have Lexi McClatcher. She is employed by Fairview. She is our next gen and discipleship lead. She's going on about a year, I believe. Right at a year. So she said officially a year. So I've seen a ton of growth in her in the last year. So I'm really excited about what she has to bring for the word today. So let's give a warm welcome to Lexi.
Thank you, Brett. Good morning, church. How are we today? Are we being honest? Are we good? Okay. All right. So the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about Encounter. Encounter is a series designed to talk about people's individual encounters with Jesus and how it's changed their life forever. Right? And so we've heard a lot of stories, maybe testimonies from people in the church. We've heard stories about some people in the Bible who encountered Jesus and their life changed forever. And this morning, I'm going to take a little bit of a turn, probably ask a tough question. Maybe some of you have wrestled with it, maybe not. That's totally okay. But this morning, I kind of want to approach an honest question about the word encounter. We've heard a lot of encounters, or talked about a lot of encounters that have changed our life forever, but maybe you've asked yourself, what if I've had an encounter with Jesus and it didn't change my life forever? Or what if I've had an encounter with Jesus, it changed my life for a little bit, and I went right back into my old sin? Or what if I had an encounter with Jesus and all this stuff happened, did I really have an encounter with Jesus? We're going to address that question this morning, and I want to just prepare you. This can be a tough question, but I don't ask the question to frustrate you or to get you all wild up, but to address it because it's real. And many of us have probably felt this to some extent. Before I get into all that, I want to hold up this thing right here. Who knows what this is? It could be a really simple word. It starts with the letter P. A plant. It's a plant. Yep, I'm not trying to stump you there, not yet. All right, I am a little bit, I don't know, I grow plants sometimes. So if I held this up to you and I said, you know what, I think that I want to put this in a bigger pot and I want to make it grow, like quite a bit. Who thinks that I probably could grow this plant? All right, there's a few hands. Some of you that didn't raise your hands are probably questioning my skill. Maybe you wonder if I actually know how to grow a plant. Maybe you wonder if my water is good, or if I know what kind of food it needs, or if I have good light in my house. You probably doubt it a little bit. That's okay. If you are my husband or my mom, you probably would question the plant's resilience because you'd think that I can't grow plants. That's okay too. But maybe you put your trust in me a little bit to grow this plant. Okay, now what if I said, I think that I can grow this plant by an inch in the next hour. How many of you still think that I could grow this plant? Nobody. Why? Maybe time is the issue. Maybe the fact that I have a little bit of water here, but, or I don't have sunlight. You might think that I can do it if I have all the necessary things. But quite honestly, I am physically incapable of myself growing this plant an inch in the next hour. I think, guys, that we struggle with, this is doubt, by the way, what you're feeling right now. You're doubting if I can grow this plant in the next hour. And I think that that's okay. That's a question and a feeling that we all struggle with, especially in our relationships with Jesus. We doubt if maybe we've had an encounter with God, or we doubt if our encounter with God was worthy of another one, or whatever that looks like. Honestly, truthfully, we struggle with this. And I want to encourage you this morning that yes, this is a real feeling, but is it the truth? So I ask you to ask yourselves again, have you had an encounter with Jesus, and has it changed everything? Do you believe that? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I do ask you to examine your hearts this morning as we go through this and wrestle with it a little bit. I personally, guys, will be wrestling with this question this morning, as I have throughout this week. And so like we have in the rest of our series, we're going to talk about a personal encounter with Jesus. I'll share my personal encounter with Jesus a little bit. But before we do that, I kind of want to talk about, we're going to open to the book of John, if you guys would like to open with me there, to John 20. And we're going to talk about a man who had an encounter with Jesus. Honestly, many encounters with Jesus. He was one of Jesus' disciples. And so he traveled with Jesus everywhere. He saw the wonders and the miracles and all the things. But we know him as Doubting Thomas. Has anybody heard of Doubting Thomas? Yes, we've heard of Doubting Thomas. Man, so this is Thomas. He was also called Didymus, which means twin. But we refer to him most of the time as Doubting Thomas. And you might tell people, oh, don't be a Doubting Thomas. Man, I feel bad for this guy to be known as Doubting Thomas. But here, we're going to open up into John 20, and if you just want to follow along with me for a minute. John 20, 24 through 29 says this. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and have put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." All right. Man, how rough would it be that you know, you're a follower of Jesus and you are known for one mistake you made? Like he doubted Jesus one time in this room and he is known as Doubting Thomas. That would stink. And quite frankly, like, I don't think he's alone here. I think that all of us doubt for sure. That's true. But the disciples doubted too many times. And I'm sure all of them, honestly, before Jesus came to them, doubted when he would return or if he would return, all of those things as well. But all of the disciples have doubted. If you look at it, Peter walked on water until he doubted and then he sank. Judas was a follower of Christ until he doubted and then he turned Jesus in. Guys, the whole Old Testament is a story about the Israelites doubting over and over and over again. I mean, they made a golden calf when Moses was gone for a little bit because they doubted he would come back. So doubt is something that plagues us all. It plagues us all. And so as I'm reading this, I question, if Thomas isn't the only one that doubted, then why is it important that we remember that Thomas doubted Jesus? Out of everybody else, why is it important that we remember Thomas doubted Jesus? My friends, the reason we must remember that Thomas doubt, it's not that we remember that Thomas doubted, but it's that we remember the reason he doubted. And quite honestly, in my readings, I'm not so convinced that Thomas doubted who Jesus was. I'm not so convinced that Thomas doubted that he actually was going to return. But I wonder if Thomas, being a follower of Jesus, doubted that a man like Jesus would return to a man like Thomas. Broken and apart from God, I wonder if he doubted, not that Jesus would do it, but if Jesus would do it for him. And I think that we question our encounters with Jesus in the same way. Not that we question if Jesus can encounter or can have an encounter with us, but we question why he would want an encounter with us. Why he would come back for us, why he would call us home, whatever that looks like. And so I want to turn now to John 9, 35 through 41, if you're there. And we're going to look at a different encounter. This encounter is with a blind man. All of John 9 talks about Jesus healing this blind man. He was blind from birth, okay? So he was born blind. He's lived a long life of blindness, and Jesus heals him of his blindness. He washes off he puts mud on his eyes and washes it off. And when the man washes it off, he can now see, and Jesus is not near. So the man goes to the Pharisees, who, no surprise, don't want to believe him or believe him and are scared and ask him to go away. They're like, hey, nah, go get out of here. And so we're met back with Jesus finding this blind man again. And Jesus says, he heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you are blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Okay, I'm going to clear this up a little bit because this can be confusing. You have Jesus saying that those who can see are blind and those who are blind can see, and it kind of gets a little confusing. And so I want to clear it up that Jesus is, while he did heal this man of his blindness, his physical blindness, he's talking about a spiritual blindness here, like a spiritual mindset. And so we know that he's not talking about the physical sight, but the spiritual sight. The man was born blind, and yet Jesus claims the man had already seen Jesus before his healing. So that's kind of how we can connect these two together. And we almost wonder, like, how, right? How could the blind man have seen Jesus before he was cleared of that lack of sight? And I'd say that he had already had an encounter with Jesus before his situation had been set on fire. Could we say that? If Jesus is saying that he was already able to see him before his sight had been fixed, you would maybe say that he had an encounter with Jesus, but how? This could only mean that because the man knew God's word, he knew God. Not that he had seen God, but he knew God's word and then knew God. And to experience Jesus, have an encounter with Jesus, is to be in the presence of Jesus, not necessarily for him to be in our sight. So I want us to see that there's a connection between these two scriptures, of Thomas and of the blind man, and that's this. The blind man came first, and so when Jesus is talking to Thomas, he says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. And honestly, we're reminded of this blind man here. I could imagine if Thomas was here and he saw this healing, that he was reminded of this blind man as well and reminded of his encounter with Jesus before his sight of Jesus. And on our walk, I think it's important to remember that when we doubt our encounters with Christ, we can remember that we've encountered him before we felt the effects of his encounter. So Christ comes and he shows himself to us. We have an encounter with Christ, but when we go back to our normal ways and we experience life, we wonder if we've had an encounter with Christ because we don't feel it. We don't see him working right now. So I kind of just want to encourage us right now that we can remember that we've encountered him before we felt the effects. All right. I'd like to share with you a bit of my testimony. Honestly, one that I've probably struggled with the most. Like this part of my testimony, I've battled with back and forth. Like, what does this mean, and why did I walk through this, and all these things. Not necessarily because it was something that really scarred me, because I've had moments of those too, but because I've just really misunderstood it. And so I lead baptism classes here sometimes, and I've explained this part of my testimony. And so if you've been through a baptism class, you've probably heard me say this. I have been baptized in my life 3 times. The first, as a baby, which I would probably describe as child dedication. The second, when I was 11 years old, my brother was getting baptized. I felt really compelled, and I decided to hop into this river, and I got baptized as well. after I had put my faith into Jesus. And then I got baptized as an adult in 2022. So I would probably describe, the first as child dedication. I would describe the second as me just asking for a spot in heaven. And then I would describe the third as what we practice here, a believer's baptism, where it was an outward sign of an inward faith. And it was me showing to my community, the congregation, and to God that I committed to following him for the rest of my life. All of them different meanings, all of them some meaning to me. But I think that they're all a bit connected in this. As I've reflected on my decisions, I now publicly will describe my whole life, my whole walk of faith, as a walk full of doubt. In my life, I've done both. I've been raised in the church, and I've lived a secular life apart from Christ. I knew God, but didn't necessarily feel like I had had an encounter with him that changed my life. And with each strong decision to get baptized, to follow God, to turn back to God, to recommit my life, there was also many months of battling my flesh afterwards, which then led me to another strong decision to come back and recommit my life to Christ or to get baptized. And quite honestly, as I've thought about it, I mean, I probably would have described to you, like, growing up, like, oh, maybe I just didn't really know Christ completely, and so then this baptism is now me committing my life to Christ. Or, no, I mean, I really had, like, a strong encounter at camp, and that's why I said I wanted to go into ministry, but I really didn't know Jesus, and now I know Jesus. Now I would tell you that all of those situations was doubt. And I had had an encounter with Christ every time, but I doubted that he would want to show me himself as an 11-year-old, as a 5-year-old, as a 13-year-old, as an adult. I doubted. And every time I would come back to the Father, I recognized a pattern. I didn't doubt if he was my Lord and Savior. I doubted if I was worthy for him to be my Lord and Savior. I didn't doubt Jesus' ability to rescue me from sin. Excuse me. I doubted why he would ever forgive me. I didn't doubt if God was a good father. I doubted why he would want me to come home. I didn't doubt if God was good. I doubted if I was good enough to be considered his daughter. And I wonder if there are people here that feel the same. We question our encounters with Jesus, if we've had one, because we've turned away again. And it's way easier for us to say, maybe we never had an encounter with Jesus, than to say, maybe we're not worthy of an encounter with Jesus. Or we doubt ourselves to earn that encounter. And I'm going to tell you all right now, it has taken me a long time to realize that an encounter with Jesus is not earned. It cannot be earned. It's a gift that we must allow ourselves to receive. And I even know, saying that today, that there's people sitting out there that are like, Lex, I want to receive healing. I want to receive that gift, but it hasn't happened. I haven't been healed yet. I want him to mend this relationship, but it's still broken. I want him to take away my anger and my depression, and he hasn't given me rest. I'm ready to be freed of that addiction, and I still crave what doesn't honor God. If I'm ready to receive this gift, then where is it? I know that you feel that way. I hear you. I do. Jesus hears you. Trust me. But just because you're not healed of your sin doesn't mean that we don't encounter him. We have a very real God. We also have a very real enemy. And I don't want to get into the whole conversation of like, well, I don't want to over-spiritualize this, I guess. I don't want to give the enemy more credit than he deserves, because God has still won the victory, but we are sinners, and that is the truth and the facts to it. The enemy knows our weak points. Doubt is a super crafty way for him to sneak in and convince us that we're not children of God. Guys, even in my prep for this message, I was plagued with doubt. Like, am I good enough to get up here today? Does God really want to speak through me? Do I have a message to take to people? I doubted all this week, including this morning. It is a super crafty way for the enemy to try to deceive us that we're not children of God. So I want to encourage you with this morning. Do not let the effects of sin and free will discount your encounter with God. An encounter with Jesus does, in fact, change your life, but a continuous, obedient relationship is what will change your heart. I encourage you, after your encounter with Christ, after your baptism, after you recommit your life, whatever that looks like for you, when you fail, because you will, trust me, don't doubt your initial encounter with Jesus, but seek for another one. Knock and knock and knock and keep requesting another encounter with Jesus. Don't let personal doubt convince you that you're not worthy of a relationship with him. None of us are worthy for an encounter with Jesus, but he graciously seeks to have a relationship with us out of love. Your testimony is not just one moment. It's not just one thing that changes you over to a life with Christ, but it's continuous and it's for the rest of your life. It's many moments compiled into one of God being good over and over. Even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it. Philippians 4:6 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And I encourage you all, seriously, that when you are struggling with this question, because you will, if not before, you will eventually, you'll struggle with doubt, pray. It doesn't have to be some big prayer. You don't have to know what you're talking about. But pray and be honest with God. God wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear your doubts. He wants to know what's truly there because he wants a real and honest relationship with you. In the waiting, in the pain, in doubt, in strength, pray and be honest. We're going to have the band come up here in a minute. And they're going to play a new song maybe you've heard before, maybe not. It's called Pride of a Father, and it's a really good song. If you listen to the words, trust me. It's a song about coming home, a song about returning to God, maybe after a week, a moment, a month, a lifetime of disobedience. It's about coming home, and it's easy for us to hear this song and again, doubt that we are allowed to come home, or doubt that God wants us to come home. And I just want to encourage you to just sit and listen to it. Take it in for a minute. If you need to stay seated, yep, stay seated. If you need to kneel, you can come up and kneel. If you need prayer, please reach out to somebody for prayer. It's not a weakness to ask for prayer, it's a strength. I want you just to focus on the words. And don't doubt in this moment if you should run towards God, because he does call us home daily and with open arms in pride of a father.